Praise the Lord. Why I say today the message will be slightly different is because normally I don't repeat a title of a message, but really, when I was here the last year, a year ago, Pastor Drew asked me to share on a Wednesday on a Bible study from the book of Ephesians. Some of you remember, I preached on Sunday, but I also shared a little bit on Wednesday. And he asked me to share from the book of Ephesians. And when I went back, I was praying. And throughout the year, I remember I preached about the glory of the Lord. And the Lord has kind of started pushing me on the area of seeking his glory and walking in his glory. And I'll emphasize a little bit of that this morning. But when I was reading about it, a verse, again, the same verse that Pastor Drew had asked me to share from last year, came very strong in my heart. And so it will sound the same. So if you heard me speak on that Bible study, just call it part two. On the same, because it will be the same topic on reigning with Christ in the heavenlies. Reigning with Christ in the heavenlies, from the book of Ephesians. And I'll read a few verses, and we can read with you from the New King James Version. I'm sorry, I want to ask you to stand again as we read these scriptures. So I'll be talking about reigning with Christ in the heavenlies, or the victory that you get in Christ, where you cannot fail, a life where you cannot fail. Challenges will come, like Pastor was sharing, but there is a place you get where it's like issues will become like no issues, because you are living with Christ in the heavenlies. You are reigning with him. A place of victory, a place of victory. Somebody say there is a place of victory when I learn to reign with Christ in the heavenlies. Amen. And we can get that place. Let me read with you from some of these verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6 first is where I'll read. And then we'll read chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. But I will begin with chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." I want you to know that if you are like me, who are like underlining the Bible, although these days we have these technical Bibles that you can't underline as much. But anyway, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Not a little bit. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Somebody say, I am accepted in the beloved. Amen. This morning, it doesn't matter what your background is. In Christ, by his grace, you are accepted. Amen. You find a place in the kingdom of God. The next verse that I want us to read is chapter 2, verse 4 to 7 of the same book. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Somebody say, made us alive. Made us alive. Mm-hmm. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm getting my message this morning. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Father, we praise you again that we are your children and that your desire is that we may reign with you, not just in the future but in the now, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. help us and speak to our hearts by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. Amen. Sorry. Amen. See, that scripture for years and years, when I have done a lot of Bible reading, as some of you know, I've taken a lot of theological studies and everything, but that scripture has kind of come to mean a new thing to me, not only as a preacher, but in my own life as an individual. Because everything that the scripture says about us is as real as today and in the now. You know, it's not something that God is saying can it might happen. He's not saying might. He says we have been raised up together and are made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I was wondering, that's a position of privilege and should cause us to be excited about being in that place. It's not just, it's a place you don't walk in fear and intimidation. It's a place of victory. It's a place of great joy. If I can really understand what it means to appropriate that place. So I was thinking about, and I said, first of all, I want to know the entry to that place. How do I get there? Because I am from Africa, and of course I didn't have to tell you. As soon as I opened my mouth, this is not was not born in America. Although every place I go, people say, "Oh, you have an accent." I say, "You have one too," because people don't realize that you have an accent depending on where you come from. There's a California accent, in case you didn't know. You go to New York, they will tell you, "Oh, you are not from here," and yet New York is in America. And you go to Kentucky, and Kentuckians will definitely tell you are not from Kentucky, because Kentuckians sound very different, especially Eastern Kentucky. It's like a different language out there. So everybody has their own accent. So I have an accent, but it's because I was born and raised in Kenya, and I have no apologies to make up, because God does not make mistakes. See, the place that God brought you to be born, there was a purpose for that reason. There was a reason why he got you there. And so you need to appreciate and acknowledge where you are, in the physical. But you see, even spiritually, for us to get where we are, God has had to do something about it. And he's right in the same book of Ephesians, chapter 2, actually. In chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, that whole section, I know some of you have memorized. I hope you have memorized this verse. This is the entry point. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it." So there is an entry point to this kingdom, which I hope and pray, like even the pastor was asking this morning, that all of us are in there. I hope you are in there. Amen. The entry point is by grace in Jesus Christ. And the ticket there is faith in Jesus. Somebody say faith in Jesus. That, it gives you an entry. Because when he later on he's talking about, being lifted up and seated together in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, somebody's saying, "Am I qualified to be there?" Listen, by the blood. Hallelujah. See, every one of us, when you have received Christ Jesus, the cleansing that happened, doesn't matter whether it is 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, when you come to Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. I love those words in 1 John, the epistle of 1 John from verse 7, where he says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." And then he says, "And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from two sins." From how many sins? All sin cleanses us from all sin, not two sins, not a little sin, not some sins, cleanses us from all sin. And that should really prepare you to see how qualified you are to sit in Christ in the heavenly places. Because it does not matter how deep you are in sin and what background you have, it does not matter. Hallelujah. Wherever you came, the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all sin. Somebody say hallelujah. Every sin. Anything that you think you have done, and sometimes the devil will bring that condemnation in your life because you are involved in this and the other, therefore. No. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Actually, I like verse 9 of the same chapter, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Whatever it is that you used to have there, you got to realize that the blood of Jesus Christ has done a complete job of your salvation. Praise the Lord. The entry, the qualification, that which qualifies you to be in the kingdom. I remember when I was here the last time, I also mentioned something about the three words of salvation. I like repeating them, not because I want to sound theological, but it's true. It says, you see, when you come to Christ, he completely makes you as if you have never sinned. We call that word justification. The theological term, you are justified. It is like you had never sinned. As holy as Jesus. And that's hard to understand when you have been all kinds of messed up into drugs and everything else. You come to Christ. Christ does not wash you a little bit. No, you are washed from every sin. You qualify to sit with Christ in the heavenlies, not because you've been saved 10 years, 20 years. No, as soon as you come into the fold, you are a child of the King with all powers and privileges in the kingdom. You see, when people graduate from colleges, and I'll be presiding over some graduation next month in India. And please pray that I get the visa. The Indians are becoming very sensitive to preachers going to India. So you need to pray that God will open the doors for me to get the visa. And so whenever I do this graduation, at the close of the, I will tell them that they have now the rights and privileges to perform that which that degree has given them. I do that also as I consecrate bishops in different places, like I'll be going to Burundi next month also. And I will have a bishop who has planted so many churches, so they asked if I could go and pray over him and anoint him as he enters the bishopric of the apostolic office. And I'll pray for him, and at the end of them, I will say, and therefore I consecrate you as the bishop of Burundi, and with rights and privileges. And from that time, he has all the rights to be, or that place to be the bishop of that territory. Now, the same thing when you come to Christ. It does not matter what your background was, academic, theological, training, whatever it is. As soon as you come into the fold of Christ, you become a child of the King with all rights and privileges. Amen. All rights and privileges to walk as a child of the King. So this idea of sitting with Christ in the heavenlies, the qualification is only by faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When you come to him and he sanctifies you. So that's when I say the justification. He justifies you and you get into that. Now, of course, like I preached in my last message here, I said, of course, there's justification. And there will be the time we'll meet with the Lord perfect in perfection. You know, 1 John chapter 3, in the Epistle of John chapter 3, says, we shall be like him. There is a day and time when we'll be perfectly like Jesus. Amen. Now, but you see, when we start reigning with him, we start becoming like him. Somebody say, I am becoming like him. Amen. You are preparing for eternity when you'll be now totally like him in totality. There is a day that's coming when you shall be totally like him. Hallelujah. And I'm longing for that time. But you see, God wants us to have, like we sing in that Blessed Assurance song, a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. He wants you to have a foretaste of the beauty of eternity. Amen. And I think that's the idea where Paul is talking about, that we are seated with Christ, is that God wants us to have a foretaste of the glory divine. He wants you to start enjoying heaven when down here. Amen. I know Pastor Drew might remember a chorus we used to sing in the 80s here. That you say, I don't remember all the words, but you used to say, we bring heaven down here. Remember the chorus that we used to say? I don't remember that chorus, but it was something about the bringing down heaven down here. And that's the same kind of idea here, that when Christ comes into you and you receive, he wants you to start fellowshipping with him, not when you get to heaven, but when we are here on earth. Amen. And so he is starting to work in your life, and those are some of the things we'll mention this morning. First of all, he brings you in by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is our sufficiency. And then the blood of Jesus Christ washes every sin and prepares you so much so that when God looks at you, he does not see your past. He sees you now in the newness of life. He sees you through the eyes of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So he does not see your sin at all. He has delivered. I like this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He says that the blood of Christ, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of love, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. He has conveyed, it is not that he will, he has already conveyed you into the kingdom of God as a child of the King. Hallelujah. And so when you walk, you don't walk in fear. You don't allow any doubts. You actually, in Romans chapter 8 says, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Nobody can point their finger at you. You stand before God perfect because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the entry point. There has to be an entry point in the place where you are saying, now I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. The entry point is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ. And it has nothing to do with how busy you are or what you have done. Romans 8 told us in verse 9, not because of our works, lest we be arrogant and proud about it. It is not what I have done. It is not because of my background or anything else. No, 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 no. I come into that because of grace of Jesus Christ. And I love the word grace. And I'm liking the word grace even much more. I love that old song that says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Which says, it is by grace that we began, but it's by grace we'll make it home. Amen. All through and through, there's no time that you say, it's because of me, it's because of what I have done. No, it's all by the grace of God. Hallelujah. By grace are you saved, by grace shall you make it home. Amen. And so you walk without fear, you walk without intimidation, you walk without any condemnation because you know the blood has done the work. Amen. I am seated, let's say together, I'm raised up together with Christ, and I'm seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. That's a tough idea. And in the natural, it will sound like you are not speaking the truth, because how can you be seated in Christ in every place and right now you're in Hope Church seated down there? And yet he says you are seated with Christ. By faith, you are got to accept by faith that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And he doesn't say we might be seated. He says we are seated with Christ. Now, next thing I want to think about, I have entered in. This place I've entered is not just any sitting. Because you can get to places and not have, you know, sometimes you may get a chance to visit the White House, an office of power and everything else, but you don't get power because you went to the White House. You know, you get out, just the little you that you went in. But this is different. This is important to understand. You see, when you go to the White House, you leave without any position, titles, and everything else. You just go in. There is authority around you. But when you leave, you are just yourself. But this entry is different. When you start sitting with Christ in the heaven places, the next thing we realize is a place of power and authority, not for Christ only, but he bequeathed this upon you. Amen. In other words, you start sharing in the power. It's different from going to the White House, because now when I sit with Christ in heavenly places, guess what? He is calling me not just to sit there, but to reign with him. And listen, not in the future only, but in the now. He wants me. That's why he told his disciples, I give you power. In Mark's scene, when he talks about the power, just before he went to heaven, he gave them power over sickness, over disease, over demonic principalities. And so it means that when I am seated with Christ, I have also power and authority. I start now having power to make declarations. And I remember the other time I was here, I was saying the difference between a president and a king is that a president is always being challenged. And I know even right now the president has all kinds of challenges, the American president. People are challenged. Even this week he's being challenged. Now, with a king is a different kind of a story. Because if you read anything about the different empire, Roman Empire, even the British Empire, as recent as the British, whenever a king says something, it is law. He does not negotiate with anybody. He has power and authority from his mouth. And listen, ours is not a republic in the kingdom of God. Ours is a kingdom. Jesus reigns. He makes declarations. And so when you get to sit with him, guess what? You start sharing in the power and authority. And that's why it is very important to understand the rules of the kingdom through the word. This morning, the pastor was talking about the need to, and the authority of the word. He made you make the declaration about the word of God. Because once you get in this kingdom, you better know the rules of the kingdom. Because you can be like the story I told here before, and I want to repeat it quickly for those of you that aren't there, of this one guy. He was traveling from Europe. The days they didn't have the planes. These days we can fly to Europe in 8 hours, 7 hours. And from California it's 10 hours, of course. It's a bit far. But when you make it in a day. Those days they used to go for months to get to Europe. It's a long ways. And so there was this one guy. He got there and he was he started eating his crackers. He made sure he brought a lot of crackers and a little water. So he made sure he drank just a little water because he didn't want to finish the water before he got to America. So he drank his little water and the crackers, and everybody else was going to the dining hall and having the meats and everything else, have a wonderful time. He would just take his crackers and eat. Just before they got to America, one guy told him, and I've noticed you've not been coming to the restaurant, every one of us having a wonderful time in the dining hall. What's happening with you? He said, I don't think I had paid for the food. I just paid for the entry to go to come and get to America. And then the guy said, oh, let me see your ticket. Well, he looks, he says, you have a full ticket. He says, this ticket allows you to eat everything. And yet for weeks, he had been eating only crackers and water. And yet he was qualified to eat everything there was. And so this morning, that's what we are talking about. Some of us are in this kingdom, but we are eating crackers and water. We need to learn who we are in this kingdom. Somebody say kingdom authority. Amen. You got to know who you are. See, when you come to Christ, I said you, first of all, you enter by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. But when you get there, he also gives you power and authority. Over every principality and power, disease, and all the powers of the enemy. All you need to do is understand who you are and make declarations, and it shall be so. Amen. He gives you the power and authority. Praise the Lord. I mean, how else could it be when he says, he's not saying you might be seated. He says he has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not like he's saying we might be. No. Right now, as you sit here by faith, he has raised you and made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. In other words, the same authority that he has, he wants to bequeath upon you. And he made it very clear in his final teachings before he left the disciples. Those are some things he made very clear. He says, I give you power and authority to cast out devils, and nothing shall by any means defeat you overcome you. He says nothing in this world. In other words, as you walk here, we actually have been telling the believers around the world as I preach. And really, if we could live as Christ would want us to live, we could literally be reigning not only in the heavens, but even causing things to happen here when we say so. Like the way the Bible says in the book of Job, that you shall make a declaration and it shall be so. You see, if we can live as Christ wants us to live and understand who we are in Christ Jesus, we are supposed to be making declarations and things happen. That's what God wants us to do, to have authority in his name. You see, the name of Jesus, Acts chapter 4 tells us in verse 12 that there is no name given among men than Christ in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That's the name. And guess what? That's the name he has given every child of God to use against everything that comes against you. Hallelujah. It is like that man. Most of us are not using that authority, and yet we are eating our crackers and our water when all the meal has been prepared. Hallelujah. We need to walk in that power and authority. I remember I was raised in a church that did not believe in the New Testament kind of power. Well, they preach just a part of the gospel, but not the full gospel. And then I heard some Americans that come to my home area, and they talked about the Holy Spirit. And they say there is need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I started praying. Because that's the next thing. You see, this power I'm talking about is not the human power. It's not muscle power. He tells us, just before Christ went to heaven, he said, I don't want to leave you like orphans. I'll come to you. And I'm going to give you the paraclete. Paraclete in the Greek means somebody who comes and walks alongside you, the helper. It's not somebody who will come and help you in a moment and go. No, he called him the paraclete. He says somebody who will come and literally walk alongside with you and strengthen you throughout your life. Not sometimes. Listen, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. I understand that the pastor was teaching recently, or Pastor Paul was teaching to the young people on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is very important. Because for us to be able to reign with Christ in heavenly places, we need power and authority. But it's not just physical strength. No, no, no. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. He told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the earth. Somebody say, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Every child of God. Listen, right now, you know, my greatest concern, and I was talking this with Pastor Paul yesterday. I said, my greatest concern of late has been that even the greater charismatic Pentecostal churches have become almost like the other churches. There's no emphasis of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus made sure that even the best of the best, the disciples were the best of the best, the 12. But he told them, even for you, don't you dare leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And even another person I always emphasize this, especially for those of you who have had a Roman Catholic background, I always emphasize another area. That during the day of Pentecost, when they went to the upper room to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the individuals that was in the upper room seeking the Holy Spirit is Mary, the mother of Jesus. I want you to understand that. Nobody was telling her, Mary, mother of Jesus, pray for us sinners for the day of our death. No, she was there to pray not for others, but for herself. She also needed the power of the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? If all the apostles of Jesus who had been with him for 3.5 years, they were trained, they were nurtured by the master himself, but he tells them, listen, you cannot live here unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit. How much more for you and I? Hallelujah. And if Mary, I mean, this is the lady that the Bible had said, or the whole world will call her blessed of being the mother of the Lord. But even for her, she went to the upper room and prayed for 10 days straight, waiting for the anointing, for the power of the Holy Spirit. If she was waiting, if the apostles were waiting, so should every child of God. The only way we are going to operate, like he says here, in the power and authority of being seated with Christ, is if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and to fill every space in our lives. Have him in your living room of your life. Amen. The center, the Holy Ghost. Oh, of late I've been feeling like, oh, this is what I want to preach everywhere. The Holy Spirit. Because once the church loses the desire to walk in the ministries of the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's when the church dies. Read your history. And you'll find that when the church started becoming very institutional, they started having now, you know, in the Church of Rome and the Eastern Church and everywhere, you know, bishops and everything else. And all they were thinking were just the structure of the church and everything else. And they didn't emphasize the Holy Spirit. The next thing, it was just a social club. No power. There was nothing. And so, for us, for as individuals and as a church, there is need to seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you, every one of us. And I'm not pointing my fingers like so. In Africa, we say you point your finger like so, three of them are telling, and you too. You know, you point like that. And you too, and me too. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do anything. I cannot preach as I'm supposed to. I cannot walk as I need to without the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So I'm seated with Christ. I want to be filled with all that he has for me. And it makes it very clear in the first chapter. It says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's only for me now to receive. See, God is not asking us to beg. No, he has already made it available for every one of us. Every spiritual blessing is listen, let's say it together. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is available to me today. Amen. Every blessing you've ever longed for, spiritual, financial, material, every blessing is available to a child of God in your life. Oh my goodness, I realize my time is up. I didn't even realize Pastor Drew, I was lost in this mess. I was lost, I didn't even realize. Let me have two more minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. I should not have sung so much in the Swahili. Probably I took a lot of time in the singing. But anyway, let me get here. The issue is that by sitting in heavenly places, you are not only in a position of authority, as I finish, but also he has made you totally qualified for everything that needs to be done in your life in the now. I want you to get that. It's not that you wait to be qualified. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've 10 minutes. Thank you. I really appreciate it. So now, Christ has qualified you not a little bit. No. You are qualified to do that which God has called you to do. Now, the most important thing is, of course, now, in the body of Christ, the Bible says that we are like the organs of the body. We don't do the same thing. All of us, like the ministry that Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara have in this church, in the body, is different from what you have, what somebody else has. Every one of us have ministries. But the important thing is to realize that whatever God calls you to do, he also qualifies you. Hallelujah. He does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He will qualify you. He will help you do that which he has called you to do. There is nothing, listen to me, and it's important to realize that, there is no ministry in your life, whatever he has called you, that you will feel like, oh, I will not be. No, whatever he has called you to do, you will be able to do it. Listen to me. I don't doubt at all. Now, the thing is, I know one time here I preach about the issue of visions and dreams. And I want to repeat one statement here. Normally, God will always give you a vision that's bigger than you. And that's why sometimes there's a question, oh, my goodness, this is too big for me. Most of the times, the visions that God gives you are bigger than yourself. Why? Because everything we do in this life has to be by faith. So you see, that's why he will always give you a bigger vision so that you can only face it by faith. Because it was something little, you say, oh, I can do it. No, he gives you something bigger than you so that everything you do has to be by faith. The Bible says that that which is not of faith is sin. So you see, God does not want you to sin. So what he does, he always brings you a vision that kind of challenges you. And you feel like, I don't know that I can do it. No, you can do it because you do it by faith. And that's my next thing. As we sit and as I'm coming towards the end of this message, the next thing I want to emphasize is that everything you do in these heavenly places, because it's not in the physical, we don't sometimes feel it. You know, it's not in the physical. I'm not in heaven as such as concerned. So I have to learn to walk by faith. So it is a faith walk. I appropriate everything God has said by faith, just like you got saved. You know, somebody told you that if you come and you say, you know, the sinner's prayer, you felt convicted of your sin, is Jesus come into my heart? And you did. And God saved you. And the next thing you start realizing, oh my goodness, even my life has changed. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There is a power that is within me that has changed me. I'm no longer what I used to. You see, you realize that by the same faith has done something tangible. So even though you don't see it, it is still tangible. There are some things that it will do. And that's the same thing when I go to places in Africa and I'm going to India. I may not see the reality of it with my eyes, but the just shall live by faith. So you got to start appropriating those things that God, in other words, if the Lord tells you to do something, don't you be afraid because you are walking according to his word. That's why you have to know the word. You got to know the word. And so you make declarations not according to your strength and power, but according to his word. So when I go there, I will make declarations about healing. Why? Because I'm not healing in Armstrong's name. It's not about Armstrong here. It's about him. And God himself has said he has given me power and authority to rebuke demons, to heal the sick. So all I do is I flow by faith and I say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And God will bring about his healing. Amen. So you walk. You walk by faith. You got to learn by faith. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But it's there. It's the reality of faith is there. You only learn to walk by faith, make those declarations in accordance to the word. And God will honor you. He will bring those healings, those miracles that will even surprise you because he's faithful. See, when I travel around, I don't sometimes know. Actually, something happened very funny when I left here last February. Pastor Drew, I went to Gambia. Now, Gambia, for those of you who may want to know, is a place where they got that slave, the famous slave, Kunta Kinte, in the movie, in that movie, that Gambia. So I was there, actually. I asked them to take me to where the port where they used to ship the slaves and all that kind of thing in Gambia. But while I was there, I asked them, let me also take me to the beach, just walk, and you know, I love the breeze and everything. So we were walking. I didn't even go swimming or stuff because we didn't have time. And somebody took a picture of me. Now, remember, here in February, I preach about the need to walk in the glory of God. And this is the area I'm going to finish with. Because as you walk, as you live with Christ in the heavenlies, he wants you also to share in his glory. You see, he prayed in John chapter 17, that's why what we call the high priestly of prayer of Jesus. He prayed, and Father, I want them to also experience the glory, the same kind of glory that you and I had before the foundation of the earth. When I was reading that earlier on, it didn't really occur to me what kind of a depth that was. Can you see? Jesus is not just praying you have a little something down there. No, he's not talking about some little gift. He's saying, and I pray that you'll get the same kind of glory, the same quality of glory that you and I had before the foundation was of the world. That's power and authority. And he's saying that he wants you and I to experience that as we sit with him. And so I was in Gambia walking by the beach, and we said, okay, take a few pictures. I want to show my friends. And so I took a few pictures, put on my Facebook page, and somebody from this church saw and asked me, I don't even know who you are, said, Armstrong, what is that on your head? I had not seen anything on my head. So I went back to the photograph on my Facebook quickly. Remember, I had taught here in this church about the need to start walking in the glory of God. And I was praying, and I was praying. I was spending at least 3-4 hours. Because as I go to missions, I like to pray very seriously, because I'm going to sometimes in very dangerous territory spiritually. So I asked you to pray for me, and I was praying, and so on. So I got to Gambia, and this is a country that is 95% Islamic. So only 5% people are in other faiths, Christian and otherwise. 95%. So we were walking there, and somebody took that picture, and somebody from this church told me, what is that I see on your head? So I went back to my picture, and I'm looking, and I couldn't believe, because around my head was light, physically caught by the camera, which we couldn't get in our eyes. So I thought, this is funny. The last time I saw this was for the saints, you know. We have been made to believe by the Catholic Church that only a few people have light around them. You know, that's a lie of the enemy, because the light of the glory of God is not supposed to be in heaven. It's supposed to be here with the saints. And I had read it about it before with a preacher from Nigeria who had been in the high devil worship circles. And he said that every time they see true believers who are full of the Holy Ghost, they always see light around us. So the demonic world sees, when they see you on the streets, they don't even have to be told you are a believer. They see light around you. And here in this camera, they had captured a light around me. I had not known. I might even realize. I'm thinking, oh, this is funny. So I quickly, and two of the photographs, I said, no, let me see. Probably it's a camera. So I took that, and I went to get it as a photograph. You know, I said, let me see where it will come out. And sure enough, the two photographs came with a light around. And I know what God was trying to say. It is not in heaven that the glory is. Even here, he wants to show a manifestation of his glory and his power for every child of God. It is not for Armstrong Chege. It is not for Drew. It's for every child of God, that we can walk in his glory and his power. So when he has lifted you up, he wants you to walk in his glory and his power. He wants to touch souls through you. He wants to heal the sick. He wants you to use the authority of the name of Jesus to bring a change in many, many, many other people's life. That is the will of God for every child of God. Amen. That's the will of God, not for me, not for the preachers, but for the will of God. He wants us to share in his glory and his power and bring healing to the nations, healing to the churches, the healing to the families. Oh, I wish I could continue. Let's stand up, please. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Stand up. Hallelujah. It's the will of God that he has lifted us up. He has raised us up that we may reign with Christ in the heavenlies. And please understand, he's not talking about the coming kingdom. That is wonderful. We will be there. There's a time that is coming. We will all be glorified and we'll be totally with him and away from the presence of sin. You know, as far as Christ is concerned, the only difference between where you are right now and there's no presence of sin. There's no challenges of sin. But other than that, here we are supposed to be seated with him in the heavenlies and walk in his glory and his power, even here. Now our time is up, and so what I'll do is just pray, and so that in the middle, possibly somebody who may need special prayers can come after that, and I pray for him while they transition to the next service. I think that's the best thing, piece of time. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I praise you that you have called us. We have entered through the blood of Jesus. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to sit with you in heavenly places, a place of power and glory, not for a few, but for the children of God, with power and authority over every kingdom of darkness, over every power of the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, for your children in this church. May they have the faith to receive that which is theirs by right, their privilege to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, in the glory of the Holy Spirit. As I pray, if you want to say, Bishop, pray for me for a particular area, whatever it is, I just want to say one general prayer. Just lift up your hand. I'll pray for the breakthrough in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, see all these hands. I want to thank you. I decree and declare blessings upon these precious sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for the call of God upon each of them. May they know beyond any shadow of a doubt that they will be able to accomplish that vision that you have given to each of them, that ministry, and that there's no way they can fail because they have been lifted up and they are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Place of authority, place of power, place of the joy of the Lord, place of healing, place of miracles and signs and wonders. May it be possible, Lord, for every one of your children, that they may experience the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and then spread the good news across this area to your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people say it. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Whoa! Man, I've got just a couple things going on in my head. How many receive that? So at the beginning, we're not done, okay? So don't grab your keys yet, okay? I just we're gonna do the announcements in a minute, but before I just have a couple things I just want to share from my heart in response to that message. I'm thinking. So God gives Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians, appoints some to be apostles, pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry gifts. Who can tell me why he does that? This is right after that. Why does he do that? For the work, everybody says for the work of the ministry. Okay, so you got that? Then, Jesus, before he leaves, he says, it's good that I go. What sense does that make? You know, these apostles are thinking, good that you go. It's bad that you go. You know what? Look at what all the things you've done. Just follow me on this. Jesus says, it's good that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So you come here. See, here's what I see in the spiritual realm. I don't know what's going to go on this week in your family. Here's what I know. You are with your family. You're with your husband. You're with your coworkers. You're all that stuff. I'm not with them. We are called to equip you for the work of the ministry. You are dealing with stuff this week. You will touch people all around. Will have people all around you. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and with the understanding that you are called to minister the kingdom of God on this earth, an ambassador of God, now, look at what's happened. You've come here as a training center. We've filled. How many feel it's like, man, you're bad dudes? Amen? Say, I'm a bad dude. Or do this or whatever. Do that. You know what? But here's what I'm saying. See, we have got to empower. That's our calling, to empower you to then go out, and inside you is the hope of glory. All right, you caught that? You got this. Put your hands on put your hands on the shoulder of the person next to you. Okay. Father, these are the anointed of God. These are the saints. These are the empowered ones. These are the ones that are going to minister to their friends, family, co-workers, children, grandchildren, moms, dads, all people around them, people in the grocery store, people in the bank. These are the ones that are going to go out today and this week and do mighty miracles, supernatural signs and wonders will follow. Though I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Let me believe Jesus. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Somebody say, I'm one of those who believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, can we thank Armstrong? Woo!
Hey, I just want to thank you, sir, so much. I want to, yesterday, what just hit me right now? A lot of times when we think that we're going to minister to somebody, you know what? I don't know what you think. Sometimes it's like, oh, I got to tell them about Jesus. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to lay hands on them. Oh, I'm going to pray for them because they're sick. That, just walking in the light. Do you understand that? We are children of the light. Do you understand that? Truth has set us free to some degree in our life. Jesus said they'll know the truth and the truth will set them free. As we're walking in God's ways, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when if you're not walking in God's ways, you're on that path of stealing, killing, and destroying. Do you understand that? My children perish for a lack of knowledge. When people don't know God's ways, which there's a lot of people that don't know God's ways now. Do you understand that? They have not had the privilege of being raised in Christian families where the teachings of God have been taught to them. I was just thinking, we ran across someone the other day. We all run across people every day. You have the person at the supermarket, you have the person next to you at the gas station, you have your dry cleaners, you have people all day long around you. So we ran into someone the other day, and my heart went out because as I was just in conversation with this stranger, acquaintance, just doing business with him, I could see how much he loved his son. He had a young boy, maybe 10 years old, and just in the conversation of what was going on, it's like, wow, this is a cool dad. He really loves his son. You know what I mean? And in our conversation, something came up. And as soon as it came up, I knew there was just instinctively, I wanted to protect the child. And so, but I don't know this person, you know what I mean? So then I just said, oh, well, you know that you can. And I just, because I care about the teachings of God, because I know about the teachings of God, because I walk in the ways of God, I just said, oh, well, you know, I didn't call him dad, but dad, as you know, you can do A, B, C, and D. And I could tell on his face, he had no idea. And I thought about the danger, how sad it was, this father who loves his son so much, but he doesn't even know it, but he's about to just put poison in his life. Not willingly. How do children perish? Lack of knowledge. He has no idea what I know. And you know why I know what I know? Because I value the things of God, because I care to know what I know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I understand some things spiritually. And his face just told me he had no clue. I said, oh, well, let me tell you something. And he's like, wow, I didn't know that. Have I just ministered to him? Yes or no? See, just, it's not necessarily, do you have Jesus in your life? Can I pray for you because you're sick? No. How about just being who we are? Believers who have the light, who have the truth, and caring and loving people to tell them the truth, to speak up. That was kind of nosy of me, and in some sense, wasn't it? I mean, some sense. I said, well, you do know. I mean, I'm just handing him information that he didn't ask for. But why? Yeah, a boldness, actually, it kind of is, Hazel. But it's a boldness and it's a love. Because I would not want that father to go through the torment of being the one who harmed his son. And I know the enemy. And I know who he is. And I know his plans for that little boy, even though I do not know that little boy. Do you understand that? Can we be that light to people? Just by our witness, just by the way we conduct ourselves? It's a new way. It's a little paradigm shift of how we minister to people. So take that with you, amen? And just look for, let your witness be a witness, amen? And be sure that you're on point to just be led by the Spirit that you can minister to someone, not necessarily the whole enchilada, okay? All righty.